parts of the branches that do not produce fruit, he cuts it off. The parts that do bear fruit, he prunes it in order that they may bear more fruit. And also in John 15, he closes those thoughts by saying, but this is my Father glorified when you bear much fruit. What the Holy Spirit has in mind for this congregation is much fruit. Much fruit. And because of that, the John 15 principle has been applied. So those parts of the branches that do not produce fruit, the Lord Jesus, he cuts that off. Those parts that are bearing fruit, he helps us to identify how to prune them and in order to bear much fruit. Everything about Jesus and everything about his heart for this ministry is much fruit, fruitfulness, so that the Lord, the Father God, might be magnified. But this is my Father glorified when you bear much fruit. And I know Pastor Sim's heart and the church leader's heart and the vision of this ministry is to glorify the Lord. But what the Lord wanted me to, affirm to you, what the Lord wanted me to just make an emphatic statement is that he intends for this to bear much fruit. Much fruit. Much fruit. Hallelujah. That's what God's intention is for this ministry, Life Solutions. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise, shall we? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's remain standing for a few moments, please. And for my sister in the back with the hat. Yes. Yeah. Lift your hands up to the Lord. Yeah. I saw the presence of God coming upon you, sister, on both your hip joints, especially the right hip joints, and going into your knees and down through your legs and in your ankles and underneath your feet. I saw the presence of God pass through there like a cloud of God's glory. Anything that needs to be corrected, strengthened, or healed, his presence takes care of that. Even your shoulders, the back of your neck, lower back, and your right hand also. I saw God's presence just passing right through. And there's going to be an increase of blood circulation from your knees down, and especially into your ankles and feet as well, and your toes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's doing something. He's strengthening your knees, my sister. Thank you, Lord. And also in the abdominal area, just above, in the upper portion of your stomach area, I saw God's healing presence passing through. That simply means anything that he needs to, that needs to be corrected, strengthened, or healed, his presence takes care of that. There's a touch of healing in the throat as well. And in the right shoulder joint, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your knees and your sets of toes, I saw God's healing presence passing through. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You're going to be able to breathe much, much deeper also. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you understand, sister? Hallelujah. How long have you had any of this? How long? Any of them? Long time. Could you come up here, please? Can you come up? Turn, sit, turn around. Tell us what was wrong. What was the Lord doing for you? What was the wrong? Tell us. How do you relate to it?
I guess I always had stomach aches since young for a long, long time. But I don't remember how long, maybe since young.
Like for years?
Since young, so like very young, like 20 years maybe?
The Bible says the Lord sends his word and it heals them. So as I spoke those words of God, when he speaks it, that's like money in the bank. So you accept that healing? Just say, thank you, Lord, for my healing.
Thank you, Lord, for my healing.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For my sister also here, lift your hands up to the Lord. I saw his presence passing through also, sister. In the right side of your stomach and the hip joint area, I saw his presence passing through. Hallelujah. Also into your left leg, knees down, knee and down. Thank you, Lord Jesus, in your right shoulder, in the lower back also, in the tailbone going into the right hip joint area. Like a cloud of God's glory, I just saw his presence passing through, sister. And any numbness in the hand also, like a cloud of God's glory. When I saw his presence passing through, it usually means anything that stands in the way, that needs to be corrected, strengthened, or healed, his presence takes care of that. Hallelujah. It's loosening the lower part of your neck as well. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of you, when you came to the service this morning, you had pain in your body? May I see your hands, please? Go ahead, lift your hands up. Several hands, okay? Praise God. Keep your hands up. All of you that are lifting your hands up, lift both your hands up to the Lord, please. Now say this loudly, okay? Say this loudly after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I open my heart to you. I receive my healing, not tomorrow, not late tonight, not 5 minutes from now, but right at this moment, in the name of Jesus. Your word says, you took all my sickness, all my disease, all my pain. Your word says, by your stripes, I was healed. I choose to believe your word is true. I choose to believe I have been healed. So I believe I now receive healing for my body in the name of Jesus. So I thank you, Lord. Thank you for my healing. Thank you for my healing. Say it loudly. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for my healing. Thank you for my healing. Thank you for my healing. Every sickness, every disease, every pain in my body, I'm speaking to you in Jesus' name. You don't belong in my body. And in Jesus' name, I demand get out of my body right at this moment in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing me. 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 Now, while you're thanking God for your healing, move your body right now. Move your legs, move your hands, touch your toes. Begin to aggressively do what you couldn't do before. Go ahead. Move your legs, move your shoulders, move your neck. Go ahead. Bend over, touch your toes if you have to. Aggressively do what you couldn't do before. Go ahead and say, thank God for my healing. Say, thank God for my healing. Thank God for my healing. Amen. Thank God for my healing. Say, thank God for my healing. Say it again. Thank God for my healing. While we were praying that, you felt the pain just leave. Let me see your hands. Lift your hands. That's it. Look at that. Some more. Where else? Hallelujah. Lift your hands up. Any more? Very quickly, very quickly. All of you that have just lifted up your hands, very quickly, please step out of your seat and come to the front right near me, please, right now. Come on to my left side. Come, brothers. Yeah, come on. Come right here, sister. Come right here. Okay? Come over this side, brothers. Come over this side. Get behind them, please. Anyone else? Very quickly. Brother, just join them. Come over here. Don't get too close to the wires. Come up. All right. Tell us, sister, what was wrong? What did the Lord do for you?
Well, I have had stomach problems since I gave birth. So I was just, asking him to alleviate that and my wrists too. So, yeah. I do. I feel much more relaxed.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise, shall we? Brother, come on. What was wrong with the Lord? Come over here. Don't get too shy.
Obviously, I always have a sore neck, but I feel. Yeah.
Amen. How long have you had that?
Few months more. Yeah.
Move it now. Yeah. That's great. Sure. Let's give God the glory.
Good morning. I thank God for healing me. As you were praying before, it was earlier on that I was already receiving my healing in my shoulders. And I felt the warmth in my shoulders. I've always had problems with my shoulders lifting and stuff. But I know God has healed me. Yeah.
Let's give God the glory. Hallelujah.
Last year, I tore my ACL in my left leg. And while you were praying, I felt the heat come up and down my leg, and just the muscles just relax.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I lost my ACL on my left knee a number of years ago. I was feeling a bit of strain there. I did feel something going through just before, thank God. And I do have high blood pressure. I'm not sure what's going on with that, but we'll claim healing.
Amen. Let's give God the glory. Amen.
Uh, a drum was a bit too loud, and I got this banging on my head. I thought I come out and pray and heal, and sure enough, and my body is, I feel good after this. Thank you very much.
Amen. Let's give God the glory.
Praise the Lord. I just want to thank the Lord for giving me a wonderful healing, because I'm having this pain on my right shoulder for quite some time, but I can feel the presence of God this morning. Amen. Amen.
Let's give God the glory.
I always had sore shoulders, and yeah, I don't feel sore anymore.
Amen. Let's give God the glory. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Hallelujah. I wonder if the worship team is still available, if you don't mind. Can we do just one more short worship song, please? Let's give the Lord Jesus more glory and honor. He's the miracle worker. And when, come on up, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Maybe just one part of that verse, the wonderful name of Jesus. Could we do that, please? Oh, what a song that is. My goodness. And he's the healer. He's the deliverer. We'll give him all the glory. Praise the Lord Jesus. He's worthy of our praise. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Worship him. Worship him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Powerful name, it is the name. Isn't he wonderful? Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it. Wow. What a beautiful song that is. What a beautiful name it is. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. You know, I always like to say when you learn how to be a friend of God, God then introduces you to his other friends. And that's called divine connections. And that's how we're connected together here with Pastor Sim and the church family here. We have a mutual friend, Pastor Daniel Chia from Malaysia, good friend of mine. And so he introduced us, and it's a great joy to be with all of you here today. I'm glad my wife was able to be with me on this trip as well. We've been having a wonderful time. It's been many years, been about 17 years since I came to Australia last, and I've really missed it. And just a little bit of a background. My name is Augie David. Augie is short for Augustine. I'm from Bangalore, India. I've been in the United States for many, many years. And by God's grace, been involved in ministry for 40 years. And by God's grace, been to about 65 nations. And but this morning, the Lord just laid something very unique and special on my heart to share with you. And I'd like to title this message, Vision, Delay is not denial. So when we think about vision, I want you to think about this. Delay is not denial. So we'll look at Habakkuk chapter 2, please. I want to read a few verses from Habakkuk chapter 2. Thank you, sister. Praise God. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Praise God. Many people have familiarized this teaching on vision to the body of Christ, and it's marvelous, but not enough has been done about it. But this morning, what the Lord just asked me to focus on is in relation to vision, delay is not denial. Delay is not denial. In verse 3 it says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. Everybody say, it will surely come. Say that again. It will surely come. Hallelujah. And it will not tarry. Praise God. So God wants to assure this congregation that the vision that you have for the ministry and the city and the nation and the nations of the world, you know, there's that vision, he's going to energize it, empower it, confirm it, equip it, and at the same time, when you run into challenges, he wants you to know that delay is not denial, because it will surely come to pass. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, this prophet here, prophet Habakkuk, is waiting upon the Lord. He said, I will set me upon my watch, upon my tower, and I will wait to see what he will speak to me. Now, what the picture here, the context here is, just like many of us, when we need to hear from God, we examine ourselves. We find out, we ask the Lord if there's anything in my heart, my word, by action or deed or attitude or motives, if there's anything that is displeasing to you, reveal it to me, Lord, so I can confess it and get cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So the prophet here is asking God, you know, to prepare him so that he could hear the voice of God. And that's what we need to do. Whenever we need to hear the voice of God, we just take some time, seek the Lord, and we begin to search our hearts. Now, this prophet here, Prophet Habakkuk, he's already done everything he consciously knows to do. Lord, I'm waiting on you. Would you please speak to me? I need to hear from you. I'm waiting upon my tower, upon my watch. And then the thought comes to him, what if there's something that I have not yet set right before God? What if he has not just instruction, what if he has a correction for me? If he's going to reprove me, it's okay, babe. If he doesn't, it's okay. If I get a reproof from the Lord, what will it be, and how am I going to respond to that reproof? So many times, when we're seeking God, we're asking God, is there something that I need to correct myself on? But you know, you need to watch it. If you go too far into introspection, the devil's going to bring condemnation. You see, the devil brings condemnation, but the Holy Spirit brings conviction. And there's a big difference. The two of them seem alike. The devil likes to dig out things that are not wrong, probably make you repent over things that you've already repented a long time ago, and try to beat you up with guilt and condemnation. That's the work of the devil. So you need to be careful when you examine yourself. You ask the Holy Spirit, you invite the Holy Spirit, Lord, you speak to me, you reveal to me. If there's anything that offends you, if anything that defiles me, would you please speak to me, please? You know? So that's what the prophet is doing over here. He's saying, what if he reproves me, and how am I going to react to it? How am I going to respond to it? All these thoughts are going through the prophet's mind as he's waiting upon the Lord to see what the Lord will speak to him. But you know, the Bible says that his ways are higher than our ways. Sometimes we get so deep into digging into finding fault with ourselves and, asking God, Lord, reveal this, let me correct that. All of those things, it's good up to a point, you know. But sometimes we get so preoccupied with our mistakes, our need for correction, things like that, that we, as they say in America, you know, we miss the forest for the trees. We get so lost in the woods, we forget to see the bigger picture. And God sees the bigger picture. And so when finally God speaks to this prophet, he says to him, God speaks to him about vision. Many of us are too busy praying about needs. God's ways are higher than our ways. Sometimes we're so preoccupied with our needs in our life, need for healing, need for direction, need for peace, need for victory, need for finances, all these different things, and there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we get so lost in the woods that we forget the higher purposes of God. That's why the Bible teaches that we should not be need-dominated, need-oriented, but more vision-oriented. So here God is speaking to the prophet, and he says, write the vision. Make it plain so people will run that read it. Praise God. So we need to ask ourselves the question, are you praying need above praying purpose and vision? Because vision has to do with purpose. Vision has to do with destiny. Vision has to do with God's way of doing things and thinking things. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we get so caught up and we've missed the larger picture. So today I want to encourage you to begin to praying about vision. Vision has to do with purpose and destiny for our lives. It just supersedes our personal needs, our circumstantial situations. Praise God. He said the vision is yet for an appointed time, verse 3, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Then verse 4 says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. So this tells us that your faith has something to do with being connected to the vision, purpose, and destiny of God. It's not que sera, sera, whatever will be. God wants you to participate with your will, with your faith, in his promises, and even when challenges come, God wants you to use your faith, because the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Praise God. However, in verse 4 also it says that there are people that are arrogant. His soul is lifted up in him, but the just shall live by faith. So what does that mean? Sometimes when you're operating in faith, there's a level of confidence that comes with faith that people misunderstand as arrogance. All right? Confidence is not arrogance. Confidence is something that comes by operating in faith. I know that I know that I know what God said will come to pass. That's not arrogance. It's faith. Praise God. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Paul says, you know, every man has been given. He says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but think soberly according to the measure of faith that God has given you. Praise God. So outwardly, arrogance seems very much, I mean, faith sometimes seems like arrogance, but you have to discern that. Just like condemnation and conviction, greatness and fame, the devil likes to offer fame, you know, but God wants to offer greatness. And the way you become great is be a servant. Praise God. So faith and arrogance are two different things. But sometimes people misunderstand. Of course, we should always guard against arrogance. There's no question about that. But don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but think soberly according to the measure of faith. Praise God. So your faith has a lot to do with bringing about the vision. Praise God. Hallelujah. So when we talk about delay is not denial as it relates to faith. And by the way, Proverbs 29 verse 18 also says, you know, without a vision, people perish. You know, in some Bibles it says, without a prophetic revelation, people perish. So without a revelation of God's destiny, purpose, and vision for our lives, we lose our balance. That's what happened to Moses' brother Aaron and the children of Israel. When Moses went up into the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, they waited too long. They said, we don't want to have this kind of delays, you know. So the people said, you know, we don't know what happened to Moses, but you need to create some gods for us. So Aaron got the gold together, and they built a golden calf. And when Moses came down, they were backslid. They were in nakedness and orgies and music and dancing, all kinds of things. That's the reason why a lot of Christians backslide today. When they lose sight of their purpose and destiny in life, when they lose sight of the vision of God's plan for their lives, it becomes so easy. That's why Proverbs 29 verse 18 says, without a vision, people perish. In one translation, it says, people run wild. So when you don't have that, that's the reason why a lot of Christians are backsliding today. So rather than just condemning them, begin to teach them and encourage them about God's plan, God's purpose, and vision for their lives. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, and let's take a look at Abraham. You know, you talk about delay, it's not denial. God promised Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. We'll just take a quick look at that. Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 to 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I'm thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Excuse me. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Lord, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. See the way vision and faith operate together? God showed him a vision. He says, Abram, you know, you're going to have a child from your own bowels. You know, it's going to be your own flesh and blood. And, you know, there was a delay. There was about 25 years or so of delay. Yet God spoke it. Abram believed it. But there was a test of faith involved. There were some delays that were involved, you know, for various different reasons. Sometimes God will speak some things to you. You think it'll happen overnight. But there's going to be a testing period of that vision and of our faith as well. But delay is not denial. Praise God. Hallelujah. And, you know, in fact, when Abraham got discouraged there, you know, God said, let me take you for a walk on the beach. And Abraham must have been discouraged. He was looking down. So God said, as long as you're looking down, Abraham, look at all the sands on the beach over here, sand particles. Can you count these? And Abraham said, no, Lord. And again, God says, so shall your descendants be. Your descendants are going to be so innumerable, like the stars in the sky, like the sand on the seashore. It's innumerable. That's the picture of vision that God gives to Abraham. And Abraham goes through a whole process. I won't go into all the details, but if you read Romans chapter 4, verses 16 to 23, it describes the process that Abraham went, where he exercises faith in the vision and the destiny that God gave him about a son. Praise God. He became convinced that what God had promised, he is able to deliver. Abraham began to act like God. He called those things that are not as though they were, and it came into reality. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it says that Abraham, being so old, considered not his own body, now as good as dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't care what it looked like. He just believed God. Praise God. And he said, God has spoken. That's the way it's going to be. So faith in God's revelation of the vision that God had given to Abraham brought a son. Praise God. And because of that, the whole earth is blessed because of that. Praise God. So delay is not denial. Our faith is involved in this thing. What about Joseph? In Joseph chapter, Genesis chapter 37, I'd like to read a couple of verses here. Genesis chapter 37. In each of these cases, God promised some things. He gave them a vision, but there was a challenge. There was delays, but delay was not denial. In Genesis chapter 37, I'd like to read verses 5 to 11, please. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us? Shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it to his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me, or bowed down to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come down to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Praise God. So I like one statement. One of my friends, he used to, in every email he would send to me, at the end of it, he would say, look for the dreams that keep on coming. That's your destiny. Praise God. So that's what was happening here with Joseph. And did it happen overnight? Of course not. In fact, terrible things happened to Joseph. His brothers got so angry with him, they sold him to a bunch of people going to Egypt, business people for, you know, for some silver. And he ended up working for Potiphar, one of the leaders in Egypt. And God was with Joseph, even though he was abandoned from family. He was taken away and sold as a slave. All those bad things happened. I can just wonder. I can just imagine, Lord, you gave me some dreams. This is not a dream. This is a nightmare that I'm experiencing. And sometimes when you go through life, when you go through in your walk with the Lord, and God begins to speak certain things, some dreams, some visions, some revelations, purpose and destiny, we get so discouraged. We go through all kinds of ups and downs. That's the reason why the message here today is delay is not denial. When God gives us a vision, praise God, hang on to it. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come to pass. Everybody say, it will surely come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, did it for Joseph? Yes, it did. You know the rest of the story? He got falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, got thrown in a jail, and all kinds of things. And yet, God was with him even there in the jail. And after a long period of suffering, the Bible says that he was exalted and he was brought up to Pharaoh because of God's gifts that are operating, the interpretation of dreams of all things. You know, imagine that. So God was letting him know, look, all those dreams that I gave you, you know, there's a time for it, tarry for it. Even if it delays, tarry for it. It will surely come to pass. Praise God. And you know the rest of Joseph's story. He became the right-hand man for Pharaoh. And he had already prophesied that there was going to be 7 years of famine and 7 years of plenty. All of that came to pass. And so Pharaoh made Joseph his right-hand man. And years later, his father and his family members, his brothers, all of them come from a far place, and they bow down to Joseph, and he was able to take care of them. And Joseph had the right spirit. You know, in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, he said to his brothers, who were scared of him now, he said to his brothers, you know, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, so I can take care of you guys. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes the devil, I remember a number of years ago when I was going through a difficult time, and the Lord spoke to me and said, son, the devil, it may look like the devil is setting the stage, but I'm going to come on the scene. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we cannot be bitter about things that happened, people that have betrayed us, things that have happened in our lives and so on. But the devil might have meant it for evil, but God means it for good. Praise God. the vision, the purpose and destiny, it will surely come to pass. Praise God. Well, what about Moses? Let's look at Numbers chapter 10, please. Numbers chapter 10. Thank you, brother. Numbers chapter 10. This is Moses leading over 2 million of the Israelites in the wilderness. They just crossed the Red Sea. They're on the way to the Promised Land. And Moses' brother-in-law, his name was Hobab. In Numbers chapter 10, verse 28. And it says, thus Moses' brother-in-law came to see Moses. Thus were the journeyings of the children of Israel according to their armies when they set forward. That's very important. When you set forward, God begins to honor your faith. When you get into an attitude of faith, God begins to move on your behalf. Praise God. Verse 29. Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law. So basically, Hobab was Moses' father-in-law's son, that is his brother-in-law. And Moses said to his brother-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord had spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. And he said, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, it shall be, that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. Now, the story, the context is this. Moses had 2 million Jews, Israelites. They were griping at God, griping at Moses. There was no food, there was no water, there was scorpions and snakes and all kinds of things. A lot of challenges in the wilderness. But the wilderness was not the destination. The wilderness was a rite of passage. They just had to go through it. The promised land was on the other side. And God had already brought them through the Red Sea, which was a great miracle. And in the vision here is what God's vision for Israel through Moses was this. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 37 and 38, and also Deuteronomy 6, verse 23, it says, God brought them out of Egypt in order to bring them into the land of promise. He brought them out to bring them in. That was the vision. He brought them out of the land of bondage in order to bring them to the land that flows with milk and honey. Praise God. That was God's vision. But vision was challenged here. These people were griping against God, griping against Moses. Even though God did such a fabulous miracle of splitting the Red Sea and everything else, they were just ruled by their needs. And that's what the problem with us today is. We're praying too much, complaining too much. You know, there's no food, there's no water, there's no money. You know, what are we going to do? How are we going to survive and all that? And as long as you're so caught up and lost in the woods of being dominated by your need, you will never begin to pray about purpose, destiny, and vision. And that's the reason why they became so bitter against Moses, bitter against God. And so Moses, he was being led by vision. And he said to Hobab, look, Hobab, his brother-in-law, he said, God has spoken good things concerning Israel. We are on a journey. That's what he said to Hobab. We are journeying to a place that God has spoke to us about. Hallelujah. A land that flows with milk and honey. And God has spoken good concerning Israel. Hobab, why don't you join us? You know how sometimes relatives can get, you know. He looked at Moses. He looked at those 2 million losers, the Israelites, you know. And he looked at him and, you know, in his mind he might be thinking, I'm so ashamed of you, Moses. You know, you're supposed to be my brother-in-law. What a shame to have a relative like you. I mean, you know, look at this. You know, you don't have any money. You don't have any place to go. And, you know, all these 2 million losers that are, you know, they're griping against you, griping against God. They'd a lot rather be back in Egypt and everything else. And you want me to join you, you bunch of losers? You know, so all this was going through his mind, you know. And yet, and when Jehovah says, no, I've got places to go, things to do, people to see and all that. That's just the modern version of saying it, you know. He made excuses. He says, no, I can't. I got to go someplace, you know. Moses emphatically said again, he said, no, seriously, Hobab, God has spoken good concerning Israel. And what good God will do for us, we will show that goodness to you. Now, that was vision speaking. That was being led by vision. A leader should have, to lead the people, he must have a vision, a purpose and a destiny, to be able to see a larger picture and just let the people know, look, we are going to a place, praise God, a land that flows with milk and honey, praise God. We're going to a place. That's the vision that God had for his people. And Moses, as the leader, was trying to espouse that vision, but people were griping. And so there was a delay. Obviously, there was a delay. There's a number of delays, you know. And you know the delay in Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13. And the spies went and came back from the promised land. They brought the fruit. They said, it's really great, but the bad news is, Moses, there's too many giants. We cannot take it. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 33 says, he said, we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And so we became in the eyes of the giants. Imagine that. Did you know it wasn't the giants that kept them out of the promised land? It was the grasshoppers. We were like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so we became in the eyes of the giants. So they ended up in 40 years of time in the wilderness, and they just barely survived. And during that 40 years, they just had manna. They just had bare sustenance. There was no new clothes. The clothes grew with them for 40 years. There was no new shoes. And the feet did not swell, but the shoes just grew. They were living a supernatural miracle. They didn't realize it, but they kept on. Their mind became so conditioned to living in the wilderness. That's the way a lot of Christians have become. Just barely getting by. That's not God's original purpose for you. What you're going through today is not the way it's going to be the rest of your days. That's not necessarily God's plan for your life. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man. The things that God has prepared for those that love him, but he gives it to us by revelation of the Spirit. Praise God. That means what you see with your eyes today, what you hear with your ears today, what you see with your circumstances, all of these things have nothing to do with all the great things God has placed. Plan for those that love him. We are going on a journey. We're going to a place where God said there'll be. It's going to be a land that flows with milk and honey. Praise God, or milk and money, as the case might be. Hallelujah. I just woke up some people. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you know, if you read Deuteronomy chapter 8, it describes the land that flows with milk and honey. And there's a multiplication of gold and silver. You'll have houses that you never built in, you know, and a land of fruitfulness where there's no scarcity of bread. You know, read that. That's the description of the land that God wants us to live in. Praise God. Hallelujah. But wilderness is just a rite of passage. That's not your destination. You have to. That's why we need to keep our mind on the vision when you're going places, when you're going through a vision. I'm sorry, when you're going through the wilderness. Okay? Well, eventually God did bring them out, but it took a long delay, right? And Moses died, and then God raised up Joshua, and then it happened. Delay is not denial. Along the way, we make mistakes, there are setbacks and things like that, but if you hang on to the vision, the purpose and destiny that God has placed for you, he brought them out in order to bring them in. That was the vision. Praise God. He brought them out and to bring them in. And when you forget that he brought you out in order to bring you in, that's where you get into trouble. That's where needs become dominant in your thinking. That's where you become bitter and disappointed with people and with God. Hallelujah. So that was Moses. What about God's plan of redemption itself? Was there any delays there? Of course. God created Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve sinned against God. When man sinned against God, he opened the door to the devil. Satan became the god of this world, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Also, when Jesus, the last Adam, came, he was tempted by Satan, and Satan showed him a split-second vision and said, showed him all the kingdoms of this world and the glory of those kingdoms. And he said, Satan said to Jesus, all this has been given to me, and I can give it to whomever I choose. If you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give it to you. That's why Jesus had come. So when man sinned against God, Satan usurped man's dominion and dominated the planet. That's the reason why there's so much evil and suffering and curses. When man sinned against God, the law of sin and death entered the human race. When man sinned against God, the earth was cursed. All kinds of curses came upon this life. When man sinned against God, he was alienated from the life of God. And so death came upon the entire human race. All kinds of things happened, but God had a plan of redemption. So when this thing happened in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, he said to the devil, there's coming a seed of the woman, and he's going to bruise your head, and you're only going to bruise his heel. That was a vision. God declared a statement of his intent, of his plan of redemption. That was his vision. Praise God. Remember, it says that Jesus was the lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth. So God already had this thing in his heart, in his mind, that no matter what kind of failure man goes through, what kind of consequences he goes through, he wanted to redeem his man, praise God. And sure enough, there was a lot of challenges to God's vision. And so God tapped a man by the name of Abraham, and he introduced the Abrahamic covenant, and he said to Abraham, if you'll do this, I'll do this thing. And basically, the satanic dominion and curses was already here on the planet. So through the Abrahamic covenant, God just gave the human race an umbrella. If you'll do these things, I'll protect you, I'll bless you, I'll heal you, I'll take care of you, and all those kinds of things. But when you don't do God's word, you step outside of God's umbrella of protection, and the curses and the dominion of Satan that's already there will come upon you and overtake you, according to Deuteronomy 28. And so Abraham was not perfect before God. You know, he made mistakes. And but then it was, you see, the Old Testament is about a nation, the nation of Israel. The New Testament is about a man, the Lord Jesus Christ. God used the Old Testament nation of Israel as a vehicle to bring about the New Testament man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had a lot of obstacles to deal with. You know, Israel rebelled against God continually. Then God raised, there were so many kings that came up. You talk about the foolishness that a lot of the kings of Israel did. Majority of them were wicked kings. They led Israel into idol worship and witchcraft and all those kinds of things. Very few good kings of Israel. Would you say that was a setback? Would you say that Israel, when they were in bondage to Egypt for 400 years, would you say that was a delay? I mean, God, where do you think God came up with this concept of delay is not denial? Because he's a God in Ephesians 1:11 that says he's able to cause all things to work together after the counsel of his will. Praise God. So no matter how many delays take place, how many times God's people and the kings of Israel sin, and how many years of setbacks that it might be, God still was focused. I've already spoken it, and it's going to come to pass. So in the Old Testament, he prophesied it, he spoke it, and he spoke it, and he spoke it, praise God, and talked about how many, there's so many hundreds of prophecies about the coming of Jesus Christ, praise God. And God confirmed and affirmed that his plan and purpose has not changed. He's going to redeem man, praise God. Hallelujah. So 400 years of delay in Egypt. That must be discouraging to God. 40 years. He brought those the Israelites out of captivity to Egypt, and then another 40 years. What's wrong with these people, you know? 40 years in the wilderness just because they refused to go forward in faith. You got stuck. That's the reason why faith is important. Praise God. I remember reading Deuteronomy chapter 1, the first few verses. It says that, you know, the journey from Kadesh Barnea to the land of promise was an 11-day journey. And in brackets, it says, you know, God, it was God saying, it was like, you know, I'm sorry, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, it says, in brackets, it says, the journey was 11 days. That's like God being very polite, you know, to his people. He's saying, look, you know, guys, it's only 11-day journey, and I don't mean to hurt your feelings. But you know what the next verse says? And it came to pass after 40 years. These guys crammed an 11-day journey in 40 years. That's slow. So you talk about delays, and yet God didn't want to make that a denial. Praise God. He had a purpose. He had everything moving in the direction of his plan and purpose of the redemption of man. That's why Ephesians 1 verse 11 says, God causes all things to work together according to the counsel of his will and his plan, his purpose, his destiny, his vision. Praise God. Hallelujah. So ultimately, after speaking it and speaking it, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, didn't it? In spite of all these setbacks, what about 70 years in Babylonian captivity? Would you say that's a delay? But there was no denial of God's plan. Praise God. What about David's sin and all the consequences? What about Solomon's sin and all the consequences? What about all the splitting of the nation of Israel into two parts? All of these things, you know, just sin after sin, you know, curse after curse, and consequences after consequences. Yet God did not give up on the vision of his redemption for man. Praise God. Because delay is not denial. write the vision, and so that he that readeth will run. Though it tarry, wait for it, it will surely come to pass. Everybody say, it will surely come to pass. Say that one more time. Hallelujah. Delay is not denial. Praise God. Hallelujah. I wanted to share, I wasn't going to, but I'm going to just share this just to illustrate this point. I went through a lot of suffering, 20 years of tremendous tests and trials. I'll tell you a little bit more about it later concerning the book that I wrote about it. And I was going about 13 or 14 years ago. I was going through a particularly painful time. I was visiting a friend of mine in the United States for 3 days. He's an outstanding inventor, and he was one that came with the concept of a minivan, concept of front-wheel drive for cars before cars used to have rear-wheel drive, and he came up with the idea and the production of ice-making machine and liquid soap and things like that. He's a great inventor, but about 30 years ago, he lost everything. You know, out of that, he came to the Lord, and he was very close friends with Henry Ford also for the Henry Ford Motor Company. Henry Ford used to send his Learjet to New Hampshire, pick him up and bring him over there to critique his workers. But 30 years ago, he lost everything, but out of that, he came to the Lord. He still has this inventive genius, you know. He's got a $10 billion project going on. It's a futuristic form of a transportation center, and it's going to take a lot more time and everything else, you know. But I was at his home for 3 days, about 14 years ago. One day, I was fasting and praying in his home, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, son, from now on, I want you to pray diligently about global positioning for you. I wrote it down in my diary. I said, Lord, I've never heard you talk to me like this before. I think what you mean by global positioning is you want me to be serious about my purpose, destiny, and vision for my life that you have. And if that's the case, then I have to be careful about who I associate myself with, what my decisions are, what my priorities and activities are. I think what you mean by global positioning, Lord, you want to position me globally where I can bring the most fruit for your kingdom and most honor to your name. If this is what you mean, Lord, then in this fast today, I consecrate myself to you. You position me globally where you see fit, where I can bring the most honor to your name and most fruit for the kingdom of God. So I prayed a dedication prayer like that. The same afternoon, my friend, the inventor, he said, Augie, there's a guest speaker coming to our church. I want you to go with me. I said, sure. And I said, well, who's the guest speaker? And he mentioned a name. And I said, well, who's he? He said, he's a well-known prophetic minister. So I said, okay, I'll go. So on the way to that meeting that evening, I said to the Lord, Lord, this morning you spoke to me about global positioning. I know that was from you. This guy's supposed to be prophetic. I'm going to go up for prayer. Would you please use this gentleman to prophetically confirm to me what you said to me was the truth? Well, you know, because the Bible said, let every word be confirmed by two or three witnesses. And so I went to the service. That evening, this preacher, the prophetic minister, he only prayed for a few people. Then he preached, and I saw them taking him out of the building. So I ran after him. I said, sir, excuse me, can you please say a short prayer for me? He said, sure. He took my hand like this. He tried to pray, but he couldn't pray. He just started prophesying these words to me. He said, I see divine connections, divine associations, and divine links for you. And then he looked at me funny and he said, sir, I don't know who you are or what you do, but I keep hearing the word alignment, alignment, alignment. God is bringing you into alignment. So I thought global positioning and God bringing me into alignment is the same thing. So I took that as a confirmation. And on the way back in the car, this is in southern New Hampshire, I said to my friend, I said, Bob, the Lord spoke to me about global positioning in your home this morning as I fasted and prayed. And this gentleman just prophesied this like this to confirm it. When I told him that, he said something to me that was shocking. There's a huge, well-known mountain there, not too far from his house. You can see it. He said, Augie, do you see that big, huge mountain? It's a very famous mountain in New England. He said, do you see that big, huge mountain? I said, yes. He said, did you know that the U.S. government has chosen that mountain to be the 0 point frame of reference for the entire earth for global positioning system. That means your satellites, your airplanes, your ships, your car GPS, your cell phone, all of these things have to have a 0 point. I've had friends that went up into that mountain and they saw there's a big, huge steel plate that says Global Positioning System. They've laid hands on it, anointed with oil and so on. And so the Lord used these three methods in one day to confirm to me that he's serious about me praying diligently about global positioning. So I began to pray. As I begin to pray for global positioning, and at that time, 14 years ago, I was going through a lot of turmoil, a lot of pain, a lot of attacks in my life, and a lot of grief. As I begin to pray like a master chess player, God strategically begin to move me this way and that way, and I begin to meet some most amazing strategic people. And as I begin to pray for global positioning, God began to connect the dots of my life, and it emerged into a beautiful vision statement of our ministry, which is reaching the world and raising the leaders. In reaching the world, we do crusades, we do seminars, we do books and products, we do television, all those kinds of things. And in raising the leaders, it's not just leaders in ministry, but in government, in entrepreneurship, in business, in technology, in inventions, and Hollywood and Bollywood and science and medicine and all these different areas. So we are reaching people in all these realms of leadership, leading them to the Lord, and also training them and equipping them as well. So as I begin to pray for global positioning, the Lord began to connect all the dots of my life, and it emerged into a beautiful vision statement of our ministry, reaching the world, raising the leaders. Actually, my friend Bob there in New Hampshire, you know, without even asking me, he just printed cards for his company. He said, Augie, here's the card for you. I've got your name as the international director for my company. I said, Bob, you didn't even ask me, you just printed cards, you know. And he said, yeah, I want you to help me and open up governments and nations for me and for our company. And I also happen to represent another inventor and a friend on the West Coast in Oregon and World Training Center, Bishop Ray Taylor, great man of God. He's the head of a ministry, but he's also an inventor. He's got a garbage truck that converts any kind of toxic garbage into non-toxic building materials. He has invented some things regarding electricity, and he made a lot of money out of that. But his greatest invention is that he owns right now is one that comes from Tesla's grandson. Tesla, the guy that gave us electricity, you know, I met his grandson, you know, just an absolute total genius. He's created a special kind of generator that connects with the law of gravity and produces electricity, you know, in a huge way for a very cheap price, gravity-powered electricity generator. So my friend Bishop Ray purchased that, bought that from him, and so technically he owns that, and technically because I already represent Bishop Ray and World Training Center for his company, you know, as an international director and representative, I also represent all of those things. And so the Holy Spirit spoke to me back then, 13, 14 years ago. He said, son, it's okay for you to represent Bob in New Hampshire on the East Coast, for his company. It's okay for you to represent Bishop Ray World Training Center for his company, but I want you to have your own entity and your own identity in the marketplace. And so because our vision statement was reaching the world, raising leaders, and because the prophetic word that came to me was alignment, alignment, alignment. So I started a consulting company called Global Leadership Alignment, GLA. Global Leadership Alignment. And the purpose of that is to connect global leaders with technologies that benefit nations and bring ideas to market with friends in high places. As I begin to pray for global positioning, now looking back 40 years in the ministry, and I went through 20 years of great sufferings, great tests and trials, looking back 40 years in ministry, 20 years of great tests and trials, and 65 nations, as I look at what God is doing, it's just amazing. So as I began to pray for global positioning, like a master chess player, he began to strategically guide me and lead me. And I became friends with a gentleman who's the inventor of the security code in the United States. If you call 911 for the police emergency, the police know what address to come to. That was his invention. He has also got an invention called a special kind of concrete mix. It's non-toxic, it's non-combustible, and it's the best cement in the world. And you know, and he makes wood, but not from trees. In fact, this morning, he texted me, you know, just on the way to church in the car, brother. He texted me. He's a great man. He texted me. He said, I hope you're doing well, you know. I said, well, I'm about to, in fact, actually, after I just texted him here after, you know, just as we were getting started. And I said, I'm about to preach in Melbourne, Australia. And he just texted me back. He says, well, you know, be careful. Watch out for the kangaroos, you know. Be in low-level areas where there's rabbits. That would be better, you know. So I was just joking around. So I was talking about him. And so tremendous inventions, world-class inventions, you know. And then I got to meet a gentleman that invented the flying cars. We became good friends also. And cars that fly, flying cars. He's the guy that invented the original drone. In fact, I was at his home a month ago in California, and he showed me the original drone. The intelligence community in the United States government, they asked him to come and demonstrate this thing. So he showed me the original drone that he created for the government, you know. And, of course, the government uses that also. I mean, you know, who am I? What am I doing here? I'm only praying diligently for global positioning so that, you know, I can fulfill the plans and purposes and destiny that God has for me. And so God began to do this thing. You know, you can ask my wife, she'll tell you. She's constantly amazed how God brings all kinds of people here and there, everywhere, you know, just like a magnet, you know, that we're attracted together. We were just having dinner with a lady. In fact, she was Benny Hinn's crusade director. And we asked her to come to our home for dinner. And she said, Pastor, can I bring Benny's brother, William, also, you know? And I said, well, sure, why not, you know? And then she called me back again. Pastor, if you don't mind, I have two world-class inventors. Can I bring them also? She doesn't know anything about this kind of story, you know? But this is the kind of stuff that happens all the time. And one of the inventors is just an amazing guy. He's an aerospace scientist. And, you know, wind energy has to, windmills have to be outside the city to get to the city. But 50% of the energy is lost, you know? And so he's devised a way for turning those windmills in a certain angle where majority of that energy is conserved, and he can park those things on top of skyscrapers so that a city can access energy right away. I mean, these are some of the most complex things, you know. And the other inventor that came to our house that day was a guy that, MIT Magazine named him last year as the IT Man of the Year. He's devised all kinds of things, you know. He said that God has given me a mandate to connect the latest in technology with humanity. And he told us a story about how he was away, 700 miles away from Dallas, Texas, where we live. And he has a son that goes to a nursery school in Dallas. All of a sudden, he got an alert on his phone that his son is in danger because of the things that he's created with technology. And it accesses all kinds of news and media and everything else, and he just picks up a whole bunch of things, and he's created some kind of force field or some kind of device on his phone. Well, it'll alert him whenever his family is in danger or whatever. And suddenly he realized that his son is in danger. So he called the school, the nursery school, and asked the principal, where are the children right now? And, the principal said, well, they're all outside playing. And actually, the alert that he got was that in that region, where his son was going to be, there was a sex offender that was loose, and he was on the loose. So that kind of instantly he picked up on that through his device, you know. And he said, get all the children to come back into the school and lock all the doors. There's danger there. And the principal says, okay, I'll take your word for it, but I don't see any problem here. And he said, please, please do this for me. And so they locked all the doors, all the kids come. Within 2 minutes, that this crazy man kept coming to came to the school and started banging on the doors, taking his clothes off and wanting to rape the kids and all of that. I mean, so he said to me, he said, this can be used for helping with human trafficking issues of your loved ones are in danger and things like that. And I'm getting all these world-class inventors. Then I meet Pastor Daniel Chia, you know, and a friend of ours from Malaysia, you know, and you know, he heard through a mutual friend that I have access to all these kinds of things. He kept picking my brain, and we started getting to know each other, all kinds of things, you know. And so he and I are involved in some projects and some technologies, some inventions and products and things like that. I don't go looking for this thing. The Lord just drops it right in my lap, you know. But you know what? The problem with me was I had failed to understand that vision will attract provision. I come from a ministry background. I'm not a strict business person. But coming from a ministry background where you just depend upon love offerings and things like that, you know, and it's everything, you know, just being a servant to everybody. And but as I began to develop all these contacts and inventors, investors and all of that, people started taking advantage of me, and they started using my contacts for their own purposes, and that really left me hurt and broke at the same time, you know. And so I was used to being broke, but when you get people just using you like this and leaving you that way, that hurts. And so I've learned a little bit more with my wife, her business background, all that, and learning a few things about how to do some things properly. And you're welcome to check out my website. It's really not a fancy one. It's got, it needs a lot of work on that. You know, it's glaconnection.com. GLA stands for Global Leadership Alignment, connecting global leaders with technologies that benefit nations. So I had to learn that vision will attract provision. Otherwise, you're forever going to be praying for need. We need a building. We need finance. We need equipment. We need staff. We need other kinds of things, you know. We need a home. We need a car. All of these different things. And you can just go on praying for need forever and ever and ever. And you will never come to a place of purpose, destiny, and vision. That's the reason why you need to focus more attention on the vision and purpose and destiny of your life rather than just needs. Because you know why? I have learned that vision will attract provision. Praise God. Hallelujah. Our vision of reaching the world, raising leaders, our ultimate goal is to be in worldwide television. And God began to open up all kinds of opportunities for worldwide television. And it's just actually growing. It's going to keep going all the time. But because of that vision and purpose, God began to bring the necessary connections and provision and so on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Vision will attract provision. So rather than focus your attention on just, I need this much money to pay my bills, this and that, and get so worked up about all those things, detach yourself from those things and begin to look at the Word of God. Look at the promises of God. Delay is not denial. If the Lord has spoken certain things to you concerning your business, your profession, your future, the ministry, inventions, all those kinds of things, believe me, it will surely come to pass. Praise God. Your faith needs to be strong. Your faith needs to be plugged into your vision and believe that vision will attract provision. Praise God. So I'm at a place right now. In fact, I'll close with a couple of things here. About 3 years ago, I was dealing with a bunch of inventors and investors and all of that. A friend of mine had some contacts in India. He said they want to fund the Hollywood movie. I was involved with some friends in Hollywood that needed funding for a faith-based movie. And so my friend in India said that, Pastor, everything's ready. We're all going to meet you in Hollywood, you know, next week as planned and so on. And so we're all converging together. And I said to my friend in India, will these investors be able to invest into some other technologies as well? And he said, yes, they are. So I said, we'll talk about it when we get there. Well, everything was moving in that direction. It looked like, you know, we're going to be able to fund several different projects and inventions and technologies and so on. But the day that the day before I was to leave to go to California from, we were living in Florida at the time, 3 years ago this was, and it just seemed like there was no news from this guy at all from India. You know, I was getting so angry. I said, I'm supposed to fly out tomorrow, and there's no evidence that these guys are going to be there. I mean, I couldn't get any response at all. I was angry. I was very upset and disheartened. That evening, we went to a meeting. There was a pastor there that was very, very prophetic, very accurate. And I didn't expect anything, you know, but we were sitting in the back. He does not know us much in the natural at all. I hardly spent any time in the natural with him. I don't discuss much of anything with him. We sat there in the back. I was angry. I was disappointed. And all of a sudden, this prophetic pastor, who doesn't know anything about what I'm dealing with, he calls me out. He said, Brother Augie, this is what the Lord tells me to tell you. Delay is not denial. Delay is not denial. For the Lord says, I have put a divine pause upon these things that you're involved in, but I will bring all these things to pass so that all of these things will converge together at one time, season, and one area, and then all these things will begin to come to pass. And again, he repeated in the prophetic word, delay is not denial. Delay is not denial. Well, you know what? That's been 3 years ago, and I just took comfort in that fact. Thank you, Lord. But I'm not giving up that vision. Reaching the world, raising leaders, praise God. And connecting global leaders with technologies that benefit nations and bringing ideas to market with friends in high places. But you know, in the last 6 or 8 months, some things are getting heated up. You know, so many things and so many different direction and connection. It just seemed like there's a momentum that is building. And finally, I'm going to, I've come to a place of really believing God that the vision will provide the God's provision. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because our vision is very big, worldwide. Reaching the world, raising leaders. It's going to take millions and millions of dollars. And I believe that God is going to help us to provide all those kinds of things. But I'm not spending my time, wasting my time. Lord, I need this and I need that. And rather than be dominated by needs, I'm just praying about vision, purpose, and destiny. This is where, if you want to speed things up concerning God's vision and plan and purpose for your life, I want to encourage you to pray in tongues much. This may seem unrelated, but it is very related. In Romans chapter 8, 26 to 28, talks about that. Do you know the Bible says that in Proverbs 20, verse 27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, and he searches the innermost parts of the being. And so when you, the human spirit, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And when that spirit is lit up, then illumination comes, and it searches every part of the being. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2 gives us the definition of speaking in tongues. He that speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men. He speaks in the Spirit. He speaks divine secrets and mysteries. Praise God. Also the same chapter, verse 14, it says, Paul says, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. He didn't say the Holy Spirit. He said, my spirit prays. That's why you can pray in tongues anytime you want to. He says, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Now, the Amplified Version says it in a more clearer way. When Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, he said, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit, is praying. It's the same thing as Acts chapter 2, verse 4. When they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to speak with other tongues, but it was the Holy Spirit that gave them utterance. The tongues that comes to our spirit is dumped into our spirit by the Holy Spirit. The origin of speaking in tongues is by the Holy Spirit, but it passes through our spirit. So when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit is praying, but my mind is unfruitful. Praise God. So the more I begin to pray in tongues, the he that searches the hearts knows the mind of the spirit. In Romans chapter 8, he said, when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And verse 27 of Romans 8 says, he that searches the hearts. What is that? That's your human spirit. The human spirit is a scanner. It's a searcher. Has the ability to go throughout the world on the inside of you and scans. He that searches the hearts knows what the mind of the spirit is, and he prays according to the will of God. And because of that, verse 28 says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who are called according to his what? Purpose and destiny and vision. Praise God. So, if, you know, it's the Holy Spirit is like your GPS, you know. If you're going along on the highway and you miss a turn, miss an exit, and you're just really going to take a long time coming back to the... What does the GPS lady say? Recalculating or rerouting or something like that, you know. And so... the GPS begin to calculate where you missed it and what other routes to take to get you back to your destiny. That's the way the Holy Spirit operates, praise God. You may have made some mistakes. It may have cost you a lot. And no matter what the sin is, what kind of consequences it is, I want you to know, just like God said in the Garden of Eden, he said to the devil, there's a seed of the woman that's coming. He's going to bruise your head and you're only going to bruise his heel. Even though there were so many delays there, but there was no denial, praise God. No matter what kind of delays you may have gone through, you may say all is lost. You may have lost your family, lost your house, lost your car, lost your health, lost your joy, lost your friends, all kinds of things. I want you to know, if you're only focusing on those areas of need, it's not going to be long before you're going to wither away completely. But tonight, this morning, what the Lord laid upon my heart to share with you is, don't spend all your time being dominated by your need. Begin to pray for global positioning. And this morning we're going to pray for that. Global positioning does not mean that everybody in the globe is going to know who you are. No, that's not what it means. First Corinthians chapter 12 says, God has placed every part of the body of Christ. He has placed every part where it has pleased him. Hallelujah. So when we pray for global positioning this morning, we're actually asking God, can you please position us globally where we can bring the most fruit for your kingdom and most honor to your name? That's what it means. It's talking about God's plan, purpose, vision, and destiny for your life. Praise God, where you can bring the most honor and fruit for the kingdom. Praise God. Vision will attract provision. Hallelujah. I wish I could tell you a little bit more, but I'll just throw this in here just for your encouragement. There's a guy, there's a world-famous evangelist called Mike Francine. He's a friend of mine in the U.S. He worked with T.L. Osborne for many years, and he was telling me about it. He said, Augie, I wrote the vision, you know, that we're going to rent the trains of India, go from one end to the other, fill it full of Christians, and win tens of thousands of people to the Lord, give out literature and all that. He said his manager said, Mike, you can't do that. The trains in India are controlled by the Hindu government, and you cannot do that. Mike started laughing at him, and he says, it's not up to the Hindu government in India. He says, I've written the vision, and it will come to pass. Hallelujah. And soon after that, the word got around, and Pat Robertson from 700 Club heard about it, and he invested $100,000 to Mike and said, Mike, go do it. And he did it. The newspapers all over India declared in one day, you know, the gospel train attracts multitudes of people. He shook the country. He filled it with hundreds of Christians, went down one end to the other. And it was just, he's quite a visionary guy. And then he said to his manager, you know, I'm going to do the same thing in Thailand also. Rent the train and just win thousands of people to the Lord. And the manager again, he says, Mike, you can't do that. The trains in Thailand are controlled by the Buddhist government. Mike started laughing at him. It's too late, and I've already written the vision. It's going to come to pass. Praise God. Hallelujah. And again, he got a large chunk of money from somewhere because vision attracts provision. You know, in fact, he told his manager, God didn't say write the budget. He said write the vision. And vision will attract provision. Praise God. Hallelujah. Again, he won thousands of people to the Lord. Then he told his manager, look, I've written a vision that we're going to go down to South America, down the Amazon River, rent about 10 or 12 big boats, fill it with lots of Christians, go down to the remote areas, win thousands of people to the Lord, and then have a big, huge crusade and win tens of thousands of people to the Lord, you know. And the manager says, Mike, you're crazy. You can't do that. That's going to cost a lot of money. And again, Mike laughed at him and said, it will come to pass. It will surely come to pass because I've written the vision. He said, but we don't have the money, he says. He smiled at him and he says, look, God didn't say write the budget. He said write the vision. I've written it and it will surely come to pass. Well, you know, he met with Joyce Myers and Joyce Myers actually gave him a check for $250,000. He said, Mike, go do that. Hallelujah. And he went and did it. Tens of thousands of people were won to the Lord through that boat project, and they had a crusade as well. Then he said to the manager, he said, now you're going to think I'm totally crazy. He said, I've written a vision that one day we're going to rent half a dozen 727 jet airplanes, fill it with hundreds of Christians, and land in on a nation and take it over for the gospel. And the manager says, you are absolutely insane, Mike. There's no way you can do it. How much does renting one 727 jet cost? He says, $120,000. And you want six of them? He said, yes. And the manager brought the bank balance. He said, look, Mike, look at this here. It's $3,000. That's all we have in our account. Mike started laughing at him again and said, God didn't say write the budget. He said write the vision. I've written the vision, and it will surely come to pass. Well, not too long after that, the Lord provided him with that money, and he rented half a dozen of those jet planes, hundreds of Christians and all that. They landed in on Honduras in Central America. And he conducted a huge crusade, had 500,000 people come, and the president of the nation had come by helicopter to the stage to open the meeting, and they shook that nation for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I said all of that just to encourage you, praise God. Don't be like Hobab and say, hey, I got better things to do. I don't want to be identified with you bunch of losers and everything else. But I believe that this is a church of vision. And, you know, I know from what little I shared with Pastor Sim, that, you know, all the different things that he has done and accomplished over the many years of his ministry, everything he touched, God, in spite of obstacles, God blessed him. And I believe that, like Moses, he's giving you an invitation, just like Moses did to his brother-in-law. And he said, hey, why don't you join us? God has spoken good things concerning Israel. We're on a journey. We're going to a place that flows with milk and honey. And God has promised good to Israel. And what good we receive, we will do good to you. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. This is what the Holy Spirit laid upon my heart to encourage you with. Look, hook up with this vision of this church. I really sense, even the first prophetic word that came was God's mind for this congregation is much fruit. The Father is glorified with much fruit. Praise God. So I want to, I threw this vision out, encourage you to follow through on that and don't be dominated by need. Praise God. Begin to pray. We're going to pray this morning for global positioning that God will just enable us to position, be positioned where we can bring the most honor to his name, most fruit for the kingdom of God. And write the vision. Don't worry about the budget. Write the vision. Vision will attract provision. Hallelujah. Shall we all stand up, please? Praise God. Lift your hands up to the Lord, please. Say this out loud. Say, Lord Jesus, I open my heart to you. You are welcome in my heart. I declare you are the Lord of my life. I declare and I believe Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. I thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. Wash me by your blood. I believe I am born again. Jesus is my Lord. Hallelujah. Not only for those here that have never met Jesus, Lord of your life, for those that are watching on Facebook also, you can ask Jesus to be Lord of your life. Go ahead, lift your hands up. Say this after me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I receive this message about vision. I accept the fact delay is not denial. I thank you for your word. Position me globally where I can be the most bring most fruit for your kingdom and most honor to your name. Fill me, Lord, with the exact knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding that I may bear much fruit. Much fruit for your glory. I don't want to live an ordinary life. I want to bear much fruit, Lord. Position me such in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand of praise. So we... Hallelujah. Please be seated.